Well, if you'll please turn in your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be looking at verses 23 through 26. And please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Hear now the word of God, the Holy Spirit inspired word of God from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. O Lord, this is your word, truth, communicated to us through the pens of faithful servants inspired by the Holy Spirit, words that are light for our very paths, for our faith. And so I pray through your Holy Spirit, you'd make even this text come alive for us. Open our eyes that we might see wondrous things, that we might all the more commit to Christ and trust in Christ and live for your glory and say no to sin in the world. Oh, work powerfully through your word and fill me with the unction of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Brilliant. Absolutely spot on bullseye. That's what our passage is in terms of addressing where those Jewish Christians to whom the book of Hebrews was written, addressing it to them in their struggles. These Jewish Christians to whom Hebrews was written, they were facing rejection, oppression, opposition, even persecution for their faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And as a result of this opposition and rejection, they were a hurting people. They were struggling in their commitment to Christ. And of all things, their persecutors were Jewish, their fellow Jews. And so these Jewish Christians were thinking, well, if I go back to the Jewish religion, if I return to Moses and the worship and the sacrificial system that Moses laid out in the Old Testament, then my problems will go away because they'll stop persecuting me for my faith in Christ. I'll just go back to Moses. And so here is what the author is saying to these struggling Hebrew Christians in these verses. So you want to go back to Moses? Listen, if you really want to go back to Moses and follow him, then you need to realize that Moses, that great man of faith, Moses chose Christ, even though it meant facing what you're now facing, mistreatment for his faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This is brilliant what the author does here. Here they are talking about leaving Christ to follow Moses in order to avoid mistreatment. And yet, here he shows that Moses chose to follow Christ, even though it meant mistreatment. And as Moses realized, Christ and Christ's reward is totally, completely worth it. So here's the great challenge which this passage presents to all of us, even in the 21st century. Moses, by faith, consciously thought it through, and he chose Christ? What about you? This is a challenge to stop and really think. Make a decision. Choose and decide where you stand in relation to Christ. And this applies to everyone here this morning, whether you're 11 years old or 19 years old or 30 or 80 years old. You know, Joshua's great challenge to the nation of Israel really summarizes the challenge which our passage here for this morning presents to all of us. Joshua challenged the Jews, "Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But as for me and my house, we will choose the Lord." And you know the benefit of this? Making a reasoned, purposeful decision like Moses did. The Messiah, Christ, builds not only a persevering faith, but also it builds courage in the face of disappointment and rejection and opposition. And that's what this the audience to whom the book of Hebrews is written needed so much. Persevering faith, courage in the face of opposition. So with that introduction, this challenge to choose Christ, even if it means persecution, because that's what Moses did. Let's now turn to the first verse here, verse 23, where we have point one. By faith, Moses' parents protected baby Moses. Now, at first glance, verse 23 might appear to be about Moses' faith. But if you look more closely at verse 23, you'll see it's actually about the amazing faith of Moses' parents. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. You see, in other words, it's saying by faith Moses' parents hid Moses when he was a baby. Because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Have you ever realized that Moses' parents are heroes of the faith? Well, they are. And here the author is presenting us with what they did, that which makes his parents such inspiring examples of faith for all of us to learn from. By faith, Moses was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Part of what we're meant to see here is that underlying this great act of faith is the providence of God. God used the great faith of Moses' parents to preserve Moses' life, even though all of the other baby boys were being killed because the evil Pharaoh had ordered their death. In other words, one thing that faith needs to realize is that our faith is not in nothing, but rather our faith is in the God who is real and who is alive and is active in this world and is active in the lives of his people. Faith needs to realize that. That's just foundation right there. And what was it then that Moses' parents did when he was born? Well, they hid him for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. That's amazing. Now, this raises a huge question. Did Moses' parents really hide him in defiance of Pharaoh simply because he was a really, really cute little boy? I mean, is that why they hid him? Oh, he's so precious. We just got to hide him. Not at all. Rather, what God's people have understood, even back to the Jews down through the ages, is that this seeing of his beauty on the part of his parents, and that's how it's translated, beauty, actually means that his parents somehow discerned that there was something exceptional about this child. What they saw, what they discerned, was that God had some extraordinary purpose in mind for this particular baby. Whether God had revealed this to Moses' parents, or how God had impressed this upon them, we're not told. Which is pretty common in God's word, not to be given all the details. I mean, our Bibles are big enough as it is, you know. But we're not told how they came to realize this. But what we are told is that his parents saw that he was beautiful. Somehow they knew God had something really, really special in mind for this particular child. And their faith, discerning that God had a special purpose for this child, their faith was willing to trust God and preserve this child's life, even in the face of evil, powerful, mighty, absolute ruler Pharaoh. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Wow. So can you see how verse 23 is meant to encourage persevering faith, even in the midst of opposition and threats and so forth? Faith calls for courage in the face of opposition and rejection. Faith involves seeing what is often unseen. That's Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith involves seeing that God is involved and he is working out our salvation in Christ. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. See, that's Hebrews 11, verse 1, and here it is illustrated in verse 23 and 24, 25, 26. So with that in mind, Moses' parents were heroes of the faith, hiding Moses for those 3 months from the killing squads of Pharaoh. Let's now move on to the next point, verse 24, which is that by faith, Moses refused to identify with the oppressors of God's people. By faith, Moses refused to identify with the oppressors of God's people. And by the way, according to Stephen in Acts 7, Moses would be around 40 years old now when we pick up in verse 24. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, you read that verse and you think about what all that it meant and would have meant to be a son of Pharaoh's daughter. And you want to think about this whole thing and wonder. I mean, Moses is born of Hebrew slave parents, and now here he is, the son of the very daughter of the most powerful man in all the world. How did this possibly come about? The son of slaves. What the author of Hebrews here does not include, which he easily could have, is that after Moses' parents could not hide this baby any longer, they yet, by more incredible faith, placed Moses, remember this? They placed him in that basket along the banks of the Nile River amongst those reeds with his sister at a safe distance keeping watch. I mean, they couldn't hide him any longer at the point of 3 months of age. By putting Moses in this little boat basket, what in redemptive history What were they up to, his parents? Moses' parents were trusting by faith that through some special providence that God would continue preserving this beautiful, this special, this extraordinary child. And if you ask them how, they would shrug, all they could do is shrug their shoulders and say, I don't know, but God, you see. And who ever would have guessed that God, in his incredible providence, would have Pharaoh's own daughter come walking by, spot the child, and fall in love with him and take him into Pharaoh's own household as her own royal son. Incredible. Only the providence of God could pull this one off. And so now in verse 24, we have the adult Moses, raised and educated as royalty, a member of Pharaoh's own household, coming to a point of crisis and having to choose where his allegiance lay. And that's part of the application for us, because we really have to face that same decision. Moses is Jewish by birth. He's a member of God's people by heritage, but he's also adopted into Pharaoh's personal family. Which way is he going to go? Which group? He's an adult now. Which group is he going to consciously align himself and his life with? Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you live. Choose whom you will serve. This is a decision, whatever our age, that we all have to make. You might be 10 years old. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Or you might be 50 years old. I won't look at anyone in particular with that one. But you might be 50 years old. Listen, choose this day whom you will serve. Moses reached a crisis point. He arrived at that point where he had to decide. He was at the crossroads. He had to think it through. He had to make a decision. And what was his decision? Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses thought it through. Moses, with his eyes wide open, made a decision, made a choice. These are the people to whom I truly belong. I belong to the true and the living God. I belong to the God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I belong to Christ, the Messiah. Young people, again, where do you stand, all of you, in relation to Christ? I don't care how young you are, have you thought about it? Have you come to the point where what is said of Moses can be said of you by faith? And put your own name in that. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be numbered with those who don't believe, with those who follow false gods. Again, to the younger people, in all my years of ministry, I have never met a single person who said that they were sorry that they chose Christ when they were young. I've never met anybody that said, oh, I regret coming before the elders and making a profession of Christ and then coming up here and being it, you know, becoming a member of the church and being admitted. Oh, I regret that. I've never met anybody that ever regretted that. But at the same time, there are so many, many, and some of you can undoubtedly say the same thing, who thought that they would have more fun away from Christ. And sometimes they did. But then later, after sin had failed them and the world had beaten them up and spit them out, oh, how they regretted walking away from Christ in his church. And how glad they now are, having finally come back to Christ. Listen,
If you embrace Christ and seek His kingdom, you are going to avoid so many, many mistakes. And instead, you're going to be so very, very glad that you did like Moses and answered God's call to trust and embrace Jesus Christ. Choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This brings us to verse 25 and point 3. By faith, Moses made a decision. Verse 25, choosing. Notice that word, choosing. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, actually, there's two decisions here which Moses made by faith. On the one hand, Moses chose to be with the people of God. If you really look at that, you realize that's who he's aligning himself with the people of God, with the Jewish people. In other words, not only did Moses refuse to be identified with Pharaoh, but he chose instead to be identified with God's people, along with the mistreatment that goes with being identified with God's people. Choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord no matter what. You see? The world, in response to verse 25 and Moses' decision, the world can say, Moses, Moses, don't be a fool. The treasures of Egypt, they're yours. Fame, power, influence. You walk down the street and people are going to be in awe of you. The prestige, the glory. But Moses chose the path of humility, casting his lot in with God and with God's people, slaves no less. And faith knows that humbly siding with God and his people is better. Psalm 147, verse 6 informs us, the Lord lifts up the humble, but he casts the wicked to the ground. And Psalm 149, verse 4 says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. It's beautiful. And here in verse 25, not only did Moses choose to identify with God and God's people and thereby receive the mistreatment, subject himself to the mistreatment that so often comes with identifying with God's people, but Moses also chose to refuse indulging in the fleeting pleasures of sin. Because the two go together. If you're going to identify with God's people, then you're going to be saying no to indulging in the pleasures of sin. What Moses did is what Paul encourages in Colossians 3, verses 2 to 3. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things on the earth, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, we need to be saying to ourselves, when the fleeting pleasures of sin are wooing us to partake, you know, if I'm really identifying myself with Christ and His church, then I can't at the same time be identified as a porn site user, or whatever the case may be. Moses made up his mind on these matters. He was a man of faith. He lived and made his choices by faith. But to side with Christ by faith one moment and to side with the fleeting pleasures of sin the next moment is to be a double-minded man, like in James 1, unstable in all his ways. So again, the challenge is this. Choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers or the gods in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will choose the Lord. Now, all of this talk about refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God and refusing the pleasures of sin can lead us to ask, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Well, that brings us to point 4, verse 26. By faith, Moses was looking to the reward. You see, our mistake that we make is we look to the pleasures of sin. And what we need to look to is Christ. And yes, the rewards, the treasures to be found in Christ. Verse 26. By faith, Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He was looking to the reward. Again, what the author of Hebrews does here is brilliant. The author here is informing his original audience, those Jewish Christians, that Moses, their great hero of the faith, whom they wanted to return to in order to avoid persecution, Moses himself suffered what they were experiencing, the reproach of Christ. And how did Moses view the suffering? How did he view such disgrace and abuse as a result of choosing to follow Christ, the Messiah? Again, verse 26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth. See, it's a matter of perspective. The Hebrew Christians to whom Hebrews was written were too focused on their hurt, their pain, their suffering, their disappointment that Christ wasn't giving them a life of ease. And Moses, instead, as the example of faith, had his focus on the reward. What's going to come from Christ in eternity. Think about it again. The contrast here of what Moses said no to. He said no to the treasures of Egypt. Incredible wealth. Incredible luxury. The absolute best of medical care, fame, honor, possessions, servants waiting on you hand and foot. The Apostle Paul understood what verse 26 is saying when he wrote, "For whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order to gain Christ." Perspective. See, yes, Moses was looking to the reward. And isn't God so very, very good in that there is a reward, incredible reward? So choose this day whom you will serve. Now, perhaps you've been wondering about Moses and Christ. How can Moses, centuries and centuries before Christ came to earth, how could Moses be identifying with Christ? I mean, the author uses the name of Christ. How can Moses be identifying with Christ and the reproach that comes with him before Moses even knew the name of Jesus Christ? Well, the author could talk about Moses considering the reproach of Christ because Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. Jesus Christ is Yahweh. And furthermore, Christ has always been the God and Savior of the people of God, whether they knew Him by the name of Christ or not. In fact, we could go into other texts. It was Christ that led them through the wilderness and all of those matters. And so Moses, as well as all of the people of God, on down through the ages, were all saved by the same person. We're all saved in the same way as we are Moses looked to the promised Messiah who saves by grace alone, through faith alone, in the Messiah alone. Isn't it glorious? And so, these struggling Jewish Christians, even in the midst of life's hardships, even in their sufferings for choosing and identifying with Christ, they and we need to learn from Moses' example. Moses, by faith, did not focus his gaze on this present moment, on the disappointments and the heartaches of this present world. So where were the eyes of Moses' faith directed? He was looking to the reward. He was looking to the Messiah, his Savior, Jesus Christ. From this perspective, who cares about the fleeting pleasures of sin? Who cares about the treasures of Egypt? Here one moment, poof, gone the next. Even if you had it all, you'll still eventually find yourself aching and empty and lonely and despairing of it all. For those things can never fill the soul. Just look at the lives of the rich and famous, even in our own country. They're not truly happy, no matter what image might be projected. Even if you had it all, I'll say it again, you will still find yourself empty, aching, lonely, despairing. All that sin does, all that treasures do, is enslave you. They enslave you. Only Christ can release the captives. Only Christ can save you from what is really wrong with you. Only Christ can fill your heart and soul. That's treasure. Only Christ can bring you home to be with Him forever. That is true treasure. That is ultimate treasure. That is true reward. So choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers or the gods in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.